Well, good morning and welcome all to chapel this morning. Good to see everybody. And as always, a special welcome to Alan and to Jackie. And we've blessed because we've got Alan and Jackie for the next 3 weeks as we run up to Easter. And a special thanks and prayer for Jackie, because this morning, if you need an energy drink or just raise your hand, Jackie, and we'll come and revive you as we go. I'm already in hot water, Linda. Alan is going to be leading us through as we continue our journey in Matthew 18. We've got verse 15 to 35 this morning. And the title that Jeff has given to Alan is When Grievances Arise. We know Alan's got a sense of humour, and now there's no doubt that Jeff's got a sense of humour. Thank you, Jeff, for our notices. Amid some admin things, I've been in contact with Jeff this week and Heather, and they're having a good time on their big trip. And also with Jenny and Barry, and they're having a good time down in France. We have two pieces. Hold on to your seats. I've got two little requests for help this morning. One is, over the last 5 or 6 years, Piers has been looking after our website in an admin way. And just pray for guidance and help with that, because these last few days and the next few days, we're trying to get it all signed over. So the hosting, which is like the space that the website lives in, is under our name, which would have been sensible in the first place, but we never foresaw Piers sadly moving away, etc. Piers isn't forcing our hand on it. It's just a lot cleaner if we make that transition. And the vote's not in yet. It may all collapse, and we won't have anything. We'll have the space, but I'll have to start again. And it's not a question of backing it up. It's the way our website's constructed. It's like living in a Lego house, as opposed to a brick house. So it may work or it may not work, but it might be the Lord's will that we do have to start the website all over again. So just pray for his guidance, and his will be done, really. The second little piece of, and this isn't pressing at all, to get the sermon and other prayers and things onto the website, we make a disc each week, and then I take that home and that's uploaded. I cannot keep up with the demand of discs. Basically, I just come back and sling them onto the shelf. So it's a plea for help. When we had Dear Ruby or something, it was like a natural thing. We would just hand the disc to her and she could listen, for example. There doesn't seem to be a particular demand at the moment, so they're just stacking up there. So all I would say is, if you feel led or you think, oh, I could do that, it's a filing thing, really, and really just walking around with them saying, did you hear last week? So a lot of people can't get onto the website. So I'll just throw that out there. It's just a bit of a mess, and I'm not keeping up with it. So if you do feel led, just see me, and we'll see what we can work out. Okay, as we hand over to Alan, I have got some paper notices as well, so I'll put those at the back, or please see me if you'd like to take the all-important prayer diary away for the week. Shall we commit our time together for the Lord in prayer? So, dear Lord, we just thank you for this day and this time together. Help us, we pray, draw ever closer to you, and as we praise, and as we learn, and as we study your word, just help us know your will and plan for our lives. Help us show and tell others. Please bless Alan, Jackie, now, we pray, as they minister your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you have trouble sleeping, there are some discs of my sermons. So they will... they will help. Well, thank you for the welcome. It's good to be with you. We're going to sing the first two together, or one immediately after. So 307 followed by 30. Oh, we're on the screen as well. So we've got the numbers on the screen. Oh, well, there we are. Just follow the lead then. That's what's going to happen. That's what I've been doing for the last 50-odd years. But anyway, that's how we are. Come on then, what is it? I will enter his gates then. Okay. Number 38, as we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here. So we bow our heads and our hearts then in a moment of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning that as we gather in the name of Jesus, we thank you that he is here amongst us. We thank you that the promise is where his children gather together, just two or three in his name, there he is. And there he has promised his very presence and blessing. And we claim that blessing just now, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we adore you, we worship you, and we thank you that you are the Saviour, the one who came to be the Saviour of the world, not only the Saviour of the world, but Jesus loved me and gave his life for me. We thank you for salvation's blessing, for that day when someone bothered to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray just now that we might be the people, the men and women of God, who go out and tell others about salvation's blessing. Lord, we're living in difficult times. We're living in a stressful age, and we pray that your message of peace might be in our nation and in our world. We thank you for one another. We've been praying for singing that we're gathered, we're joined together, and our hearts go out to those who aren't with us for whatever reason, some on holiday, as we've heard, miles away from us, perhaps night time, perhaps asleep in New Zealand, wherever, and in France as well, whatever is happening just now, we pray for one another, for those who are not feeling very well and unable to be with us. We just thank you, Lord, for a very real sense of fellowship and unity and belonging. And we pray for the other churches locally as well, the other denominations, the other fellowships. We pray that wherever the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is faithfully preached and proclaimed, there might be salvation blessing as men and women, boys and girls, come to know the Lord Jesus and to bless him for themselves. And to that end, we pray for the money that's been given in our fellowship today and the money that will be perhaps given presently as well. We thank you that each one of us is in control in that sense, and that we choose gladly, willingly, knowing that you love a cheerful giver, and we cheerfully give to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing another hymn, number 967. Or it'll be on the board, won't it? Years I've spent in vanity and pride. 967. Seated, and just another word of prayer. In fact, let's join together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to invite Sarah to come and give us her reading, please.
So the reading today, as we heard, is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 35. And it's headed up, "A brother who sins against you. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his own fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that reading with us. 640, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. Her Lord, she is his new creation by water and the word. Have you noticed that in most villages, most places, there is a church and a chapel? We're a prime example, aren't we? There is a church and a chapel. I just wrote quickly down this morning, 1 or 2 Westwood Hill. There is the Holy Trinity, and then there's the Free Church, the Baptist Church. Northam, there's St. Margaret's there, and there's the I think it's Flats now, isn't it? But the Methodist Church in the square there in Buckland Brewer. Cast your mind to Buckland Brewer, Methodist Church. Allington, is that how you say it? How do you say it? Alwington. Alwington. Bucks Mills. Bucks Mills, there's another one, isn't it? What's the parish church? Is that St. Anne's at the top? And then as you go down, it's a house now, isn't it? And certainly when I was... There was church and chapel. And in my growing up years in South York, it was just the same. Never the twain shall meet. You were either church or you were chapel. And there is a story, and it is only a story, about a missionary who was going out overseas, and they were shipwrecked. And the missionary and his little boy were washed up on a desert island, really. There was people living on the island, natives on the island. And there they were on the end. He said, well, we're a missionary. We've lost everything, but we'll build a church. And so they set to it, and they built this church. And as soon as they'd finished building the church, they started building on the opposite side of the road another church. And the little boy, after a while, he said, Dad, why? What's all this? You know, why are we building a second? He said, that's the one we don't go to. Never. Now, sometimes there are valid reasons why we don't go to a different church. Why churches have formed. Sometimes it's theological. Sometimes there's a Bible reason. For example, when we have communion, there are some fellowships that say the bread actually becomes the very body of Christ, and the ribena becomes, it is changed into the very, you are partaking of Christ himself, his flesh and his blood. And there are other denominations of which we would be part, and we would say, well, it's just a symbol, it's just bread. It's just bread, it's just ribena, it's just a fruit drink, and it's just a symbol to help us remember. But churches have divided. Baptism, there's another thing, isn't it? We as Baptists, we would say, no, when we baptise, baptism in the church is to be plunged right under. The Greek word baptizo means to dip, to plunge. You go right in. And others say, well, no, it's not worth getting all wet through. It's just a symbol. And some people say, well, you're preaching the Bible, but you're not concerned about the down and outs and the alcoholics and the, so the Salvation Army, for example, split away from Methodism, if you like, to have more of a social concern. I used to be minister of Appledore. And when you're in Appledore, the top of the hill, there was the United Reformed Church. That's now Flats as well, isn't it? The United had come down the hill. There was our Baptist Church on the left. Joining that was the Anglican Church. Again, down the bottom on the right was the Seamen's Mission. Up another hill was the Methodist. I think that's a different use now. It's called Meeting Street. All these different churches, really. But they've all divided and split. And roll on a few years, and then there's a fresh interest, if you like. I don't know if that's the way to describe it, in the Holy Spirit. And so we have the charismatic movement. And from various denominations, people split away, and they form house churches. They're meeting houses, or the Book of Village Hall, or a community centre. And so it continues, that churches divide and split. Sarah read from us, from Matthew 18, our verses this morning. And our verses, Matthew 18, verses 15 to 35, are in fact nothing to do with the Baptists breaking up, with the Protestants breaking away from the Catholics, or the Methodists and the Salvation Army going their separate. It's nothing to do with denominations. It's nothing to do with schisms rent asunder and heresies distress that we've just been singing about. It's to do with grievances within the one fellowship. It says in verse 15 that Sarah read for us, if a brother or a sister sins, if someone within that fellowship, within that particular church, has a grievance, sins against you. I'm going to ask a question now, and I'm going to throw it out, and it's what's known as a rhetorical question. That means I don't want you to answer out loud. Have you ever witnessed a fallout in a church? Have you ever witnessed a division in a church? Have you ever been part of a division in a church or a fallout? I've asked you not to answer, but I'm going to tell you, people out there know. People out there know. They will say, if that's how the church carries out, I want nothing to do with them. They can't agree among themselves. People out there know. That's how Christians behave. And I'll tell you why they say that, because we as Christians are an unforgiving lot. We are an unforgiving lot, quite frankly. And yet, day by week, we pray, as we've prayed this morning, forgive us our sins, our trespasses. What's next? As we forgive those who trespass against us. We say, well, that's a nice prayer, but what he did to me was inexcusable. What she said was unforgivable. I'll never, as long as I live. And that's all well and good, isn't it? Until we realise that God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. God has forgiven the unforgivable, if you like, in us. The inexcusable. That's why the Lord's Prayer is such an effective prayer. That's why we should forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Forgiveness. I'm sure we all agree it's a good it's a good prayer. It's a good thing until there is someone for me to forgive. Until someone crosses me. There's a story of a husband and a wife. This is not a church story. This is just a husband and wife. And I just say it to lighten up, because it's heavy teaching this morning. Just a silly story. But he blew. He would go off in a, he would have a temper, and she very quickly forgave him. Very quickly. They'd just blow, and he wouldn't go off sulking for days because Plymouth lost to Barnsley. He wouldn't, you know, he'd just blow at his wife, and it would be all over. And she'd just go off. And my mum was a bit like that, wasn't she? My mum was a bit, I mean, I'm not saying mum and dad, I mean, they were a normal couple. They did have their moments, but there wasn't such a T-shirt in that. But it, keep calm and carry on. That's what my mum did. You know, she just carried on with it and said, oh, well, we'll get over it, and made a cup of tea, and that was it. That's and this woman in this story, that's how she was. And the family grew up, the daughter grew up, and she got married, and a family of her own, and family life, you know. And she went to her mum. She said, "Mum, how? Tell me the secret. You have words with dad, and then it's you just go off and do the cleaning, carry on with the house cleaning." "Yeah," she said. "That's just how it is." She said, "I always go and do the bathroom. I always clean the toilet with his toothbrush." Now that's not advice from the You'd better tell Mr. Saunders it's his 53rd wedding anniversary on Tuesday, because we don't want him having the toothbrush and... but that's not forgiveness, that's revenge, isn't it? That's not forgiveness. That's revenge. And that's about a man and a woman. But this is about church. This is about within a church. Verse, if a brother sins again, if a brother upsets you, if a fellow believer crosses you, it's then we have a choice. We can either get revenge or we can forgive. And what is revenge? Well, revenge is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, isn't it? And it was Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi, he said this. If we revenge an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, let me get this right, he said, we will soon be living in a blind and toothless society. An eye for an eye. Now, the idea of forgiveness is not revenge. The idea of forgiveness is not, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Don't you dare cross me in prickly tense. Forgiveness is, and I'm going to skip to the very end verse that Sarah read for us. Forgiveness is verse 35. This is how your Heavenly Father will forgive each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This has got to be heartfelt. This has got to be genuine forgiveness. We're not talking about repentance. You know, anybody can say, oh, I'm sorry. This is not his response. This is my response to him. I have to forgive him, even if I know that, well, that was a half-hearted, I'm sorry. But I have to forgive. That's how God forgives us. So our passage this morning, we have a pattern of how to deal with disputes and with grievances when people fall out. It's tough teaching, but let me read it again, verses 15, 16 and 17. If a brother sins against you, go and talk about it with him. Show him, just between the two of you. If he listens, well, all well and good, you've won him over. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he still refuses to listen, tell it to the whole church. And if he refuses to listen to the whole church, excommunicate him, treat him as a tax collector, throw him out. Tough teaching. Three stages, if you like. There's a private meeting just between the two of you. If that doesn't work, get an arbiter to join you, or the pastor, or deacon, or somebody mutually respected, if you like. And verse 16, that's verse 16. And as a last resort, verse 17, excommunicate, kick him out. Have nothing to do with him. Bar him from membership. Bar him from communion. Let me read that again. Verses 15, 16 and 17 in a very modern version. Excuse me. In fact, it's so modern, this version, that I'm making it up. Verse 15. If Gary Lineker crosses the BBC... If Gary Lineker falls out with the BBC, just have a word with him. Just take him to one side and have a... If that doesn't work, get Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak, get somebody involved. And if it's still not resolved, go to ITV. Kick him out. Go to Sky Sports. Go to Sky Sports. This, I know that's... football, that's secular. This is in the church. This is in the church that this was happening. It's tough teaching. The pattern is set. Just have a word. If that's not working, get somebody respected to referee, if you like. And if that still don't work, you'll have to go your separate ways. I've read books, not commentaries, just books, story books, Bible-based, where there have been church disputes, and they have followed this biblical pattern, and they've met, and they've prayed, and they've all lived happily ever after. And that's in books. I'm afraid that's not been the experience in reality. It's lovely when it happens. It's lovely when it happens. But I'll tell you, it's tough teaching. Because we're human, we don't always follow this pattern that's set down in the Bible. So if someone crosses me, if a brother crosses me, I don't go to him and have a word. What do? I'll phone up everybody else and get them on side. I'll tell them, do you know what he said? Do you know what she did? What a wicked person she, nothing to do with me, I'm not going to them, I'm telling all and I want to get people, I want to get my story, my part in first. I want to get Ian Wright and Alan Shearer on board. I want to get the other people on board. I even want to get Jeremy Clarkson on board. And Piers Morgan, did you read Piers Morgan? I want to get these, you know, I want to get my case is going to be the stronger of the... He's got to apologize first. No. We're going to sit on opposite sides. He's there and we're there and we just wait. It's tense and we look daggers. Now that's what's happening in football, but this is real in many churches. I'm not going to illustrate, but it does happen. And in our heart of hearts we know that it happens, quite frankly, and it's hard, it's painfully true. And Jesus says, when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to church disputes, it needs to be done in a prayerful, in an atmosphere of prayer. This is what he says in verse 19. He says, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven, because where two or three come together in my name, there I will be. You've got to come together and ask in my name. We come together and pray and ask, pray in my name. Be prayerful in this matter of church grievances and disputes. You need to, verse 19, agree. That when you come together in prayer, there needs to be agreement in prayer. You need to... The Greek word for agree is the word from which we get our English word symphony. There needs to be harmony. There needs to be unity. Symposium is the Greek word. We need that symphony, that we're coming from different angles, but we agree that the situation needs resolving. That's what we're agreeing, needs resolving. There needs to be, and if a decision is reached in a harmonious, prayerful agreement, that decision could be yes, the sinner repents, or yes, the sinner is excommunicated. Be that, barred from communion, or his membership suspended for a while, or whatever. Then verse 18 says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever decision you come to, binding or loosing, I'm mixing the metaphors up a little bit, whether he's locked up or set free, if it's done prayerfully, harmoniously, we're all in agreement, it will be recognized by God in heaven. That's what he's saying in verse 18. So good old Peter comes in. He comes to the rescue and he says, verse 21, Peter says, Lord, I've been crossed. Someone's crossed me and I've forgiven him. And in fact, what's a reasonable, shall I forgive him, say, seven times? That's what he says in verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he crosses me? Seven times? Well, the going rate was three times. If you know the book of Amos chapter 1 and verse 6, and well, all chapter 1 says, it's the punishment dished out to various cities. For three sins of Damascus, I will... So three, you're given three warnings. And Peter, he says, seven... In other words, he doubles the going rate. Three, doubled his six. And he adds another one, just for good measure. So he says, shall I be a fine Christian person and forgive somebody seven times? And Jesus says, you don't keep score, my friend. Forgiveness is not about a score sheet and something that's done grudgingly. It's not quantifiable. If you're going to keep score, It's 77 times. That's what it says in verse 22. Jesus answered, I tell you, it's not 7 times, but 77 times. And there's a little asterisk above 77, and it gives a footnote, and it says, it could be 70 times 7. It's not just you forgive him 3 times, you forgive him 7 times, you forgive him 70 times, you forgive him 70 times 70. It's limitless. This is how we are to forgive. This is the point that Jesus is making. The Christian life is all about forgiveness. That's how we come to Christ in the first place. That's how we become Christians, by seeking his forgiveness. So the person who is willing to forgive, it's not, let me say, it is not a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of being a doormat. It is a sign of strength, the ability. It's a sign of greatness. Forgive us as we forgive, as we do the same to them. And Jesus wraps up this passage with a little story, an illustration of what true forgiveness is all about from verse 23 onwards. About a king. A king who wants to settle his accounts. And one man owes him, in verse 24, millions of pounds. In one of the commentaries it says 10,000 talents, and it said a talent is 20 years gold, 20 years wages. 10,000, 20 years wages. This is a phenomenal, it's what's known as hyperbole. Exaggerating a story to make it more effective. He uses extravagant language. He owes him an impossible, a colossal amount of money he owes. And surprisingly, verse 27, the king says, forgiven. It's cancelled. It's cancelled. So out he goes. And this forgiven man, who's been forgiven this incredible amount, absolutely unbelievable amount, millions and millions and billions and trillions of pounds, the slate's been wiped clean. He goes out, and verse 28 tells us, he finds someone who owes him, the footnotes to verse 28 says, a few pounds. Someone owes him a few pounds. And what does this man do? Well, Sarah read it for us, verses 28. He grabs him by he half throttles him. Verse 28 to 30. When that servant went out, he found someone who, his fellow servant, who owed him just 100 denarii, just a few pounds. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. Did you hear the expression in Sarah's voice when she read that? Hey, she'd get my, I wouldn't argue with her. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Pay back what you owe me. But he refused. Instead, he went off. He had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. He was discovered. The hypocrisy was exposed. And then verse 32 tells us he himself was thrown in prison. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on this fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And the point is, verse 35, this is how Heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, it's a parable, it's a story. It's only a story, and it's designed to teach Christians how to forgive. To think how the Lord has freely forgiven millions in spiritual terms, the millions that we owe in spiritual terms, a debt we could never pay. It's to explain, when we looked at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, to show, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, they shall obtain mercy. Can you see the Lord in this parable? Verse 27 says, the master took pity. The Lord takes pity. He has compassion on you and on me. He cancelled his debt. Verse 23, here is the King, King Jesus. Here is the forgiven servant. I'm free. Jesus paid my debt on Calvary. That's why we sing about Calvary. That's why we make much of Calvary's sacrifice. The price is paid. And so now we go out and we share that forgiveness. Not as the Pope, not as some interpret it as binding and loosing, that we have the ability to forgive sins. No, we don't. But as forgiven sinners, we can emulate Jesus day by day in our dealings, in our interactions. It's tough teaching. I know that. It's tough. I've tried to make light of it as best as I can. Just never expected to use Gary Lineker as a sermon illustration, did we? I've tried to make light of it, but this is serious, and I simply pray that God would help us to be forgiven Christians and then forgive those who trespass against us. A couple of songs to conclude our time together. 181, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to share his love. Freely you have received, freely give, go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. 181, and then we'll sing the 3-2-1. I'm loved. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Saviour, the Creator of the world. There's joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. 3-2-1. We have had not a short sermon, but short time this morning. Linda's prayers have been answered. We've got 10 minutes to have a cup of coffee and a cup of tea together. And if there are grievances, to put them right and to just be together and enjoy the Lord's presence. Now we pray the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to rest, remain, abide with us each one this Lord's Day morning and even forevermore. Amen. Amen.